It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. As Milwaukee County installs new harm reduction vending machines to address the opioid epidemic, we discuss new strategies and programs underway to advance public health and equity goals in the county and impacts on other Wisconsin communities. Be part of the conversation. Call in with a question, share comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Dr. Ben Weston is Milwaukee County's Chief Health Policy Advisor and an Associate Professor in the Department of Emergency Medicine at Medical College of Wisconsin. Dr. Weston, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thanks for having me back.
Good morning. Milwaukee County's figures indicate that overdose deaths have risen over the past two decades. What are the factors behind the increase?
Yeah, we have seen a gradual rise, but particularly over the last few years, we've seen a rise. Last year and continuing, unfortunately, into this year in Milwaukee County, we're seeing an opioid overdose death every 16 hours, which is just a staggering figure to wrap your head around. Now, we're not alone in the country with this crisis, but we are addressing it in unique ways here in Milwaukee County. I think the factors that contribute to this are many. Certainly during the pandemic, we saw a lot of folks out of work. We saw a lot of folks who had exacerbation of mental health issues, exacerbation of isolation and loneliness. And those certainly compounded these issues, but they've been going on a lot longer than the pandemic as well.
Who is most at risk for dying from an opioid-related overdose?
That's a great question. And I think there's a misperception here. We had back in the spring, we had a terrible weekend where we saw about 20 folks overdose in the series of 48 hours. And I'll tell you, after those overdoses, the most common thing I heard is the word junkie. I heard it over and over, those poor junkies, that sort of thing. And I think it's this misperception that there's a certain population that overdoses and it doesn't affect me, doesn't affect my family. But when you look at those folks who overdose, they're from all our different communities. They're from all different age groups, all different race and ethnicities, all different income levels. A lot of those folks have jobs. A lot of those folks have families. They were business owners. And so what we've seen with the opioid epidemic, especially in the more recent years, is that this affects everyone. Almost everyone can think of someone in their circles, their family, their friends, their neighbors, who struggles with opioid use. And so really, there is no specific group that is at risk. Everyone is at risk.
The Milwaukee County Board allocated $11 million in the opioid settlement funds to support more than a dozen projects over the next several fiscal years. And one includes placing harm reduction vending machines throughout the region to reduce overdoses. What type of free life-saving supplies do these machines contain?
Yeah, so these machines contain a few really critical harm reduction supplies, and we can talk more about what harm reduction is, but one of those is nasal naloxone. This is a nasal spray that reverses an overdose in the moment that it's occurring. When somebody overdoses on opioids, it causes their brain to decrease their respiratory drive, and they stop breathing, and that doesn't take long until they die. And that's what happens with an overdose. Now, what naloxone does is it displaces the opioids from the receptors in the brain, and it causes that person to start breathing again, and it reverses that overdose. And it's easy to give. You don't need any training. You just put it in their nose, and you pull the trigger, and it squirts up there. So that's one supply. There's also fentanyl test strips. We've seen over the last few years fentanyl, 100 times more potent than morphine, really take over our drug supply. It used to be heroin. The majority of deaths were from heroin. Heroin is a trickle now. 93% of opioid deaths in 21, 95% in 22, and about 100% so far in 2023 contain fentanyl. And so knowing whether fentanyl is in the drug that somebody's taking is important. And it turns out that when folks use fentanyl test strips, they actually change their behavior. They're more likely, if it's positive for fentanyl, they're more likely to use with somebody else. They're more likely to use less. They're more likely to have naloxone available. So these sort of things really do make a difference. And there's a few things in the vending machine, but that's a couple of the really critical items.
Dr. Ben Weston with us, Chief Health Policy Advisor for Milwaukee County, as we look at new overdose prevention efforts in the county and their impacts. You can join in with your questions and your concerns, 800-642-1234. A harm reduction vending machine operating at Milwaukee County's Community Reintegration Center in the site near the Milwaukee County Correctional Facility in Franklin. Is the machine reducing drug-related incidents? What are your takeaways so far?
Yeah, so these machines are new. What we've seen so far, just several weeks, what we've seen, though, is an incredible amount of uptake. Thousands of nasal naloxone, thousands, tens of thousands of fentanyl test strips. They also contain medication disposal bags, medication lock bags. And transitioning away from the opioid epidemic, they also contain gun locks. And these are free. You push, it's just like any other vending machine. You push B4 and a gun lock falls out. And you get it for free. There's no barriers to these vending machines. You don't have to give your name. You don't have to give your, you know, date of birth, any show an ID. There's nothing like that. You just walk up, you push the button, and you walk away. Now, why it's so critical at the Community Reintegration Center is because that population is at such a high risk for overdose. Incarcerated populations in the first 2 weeks out are 20 times more likely to have a fatal overdose than the general population. It's a critical time period. And, you know, we changed the name from the House of Corrections to the Community Reintegration Center for a reason. We're looking to reintegrate these folks into the community, into society. But you can't do that if people overdose. You have to be alive to reintegrate, and the vending machines help folks to do that.
The West Dallas Fire Department recently announced the new overdose-focused treatment program, and you have said this effort is pretty new nationally as well as new to Wisconsin and Milwaukee County. How does this treatment program reduce drug-related deaths?
Yeah, so I think this is a really important program. We worked with, so I have a dual role at Milwaukee County. I'm the Chief Health Policy Advisor. I also am the EMS Medical Director, so I oversee our EMS system. We have one of the largest EMS systems in the country. We see 115,000 patients a year. And one of our fire departments is the West Dallas Fire Department. And so we worked with the state to allow paramedics to give buprenorphine. It's this medication, sort of like methadone, only it works a little bit differently, in some ways a lot more effectively, to take away the craving somebody has for opioids. And also to reduce the likelihood, if they do take opioids, that they'll overdose on it. So this medication works in a number of different ways. The other thing about it is it's easy to take. It just melts on your tongue. There's no injections or anything like that. So what we've done in the West Dallas Fire Department, it's a really progressive fire department. They are constantly wanting to do new things to help their community and really strengthen the health of their citizens. And so working with Chief Pooler at the West Dallas Fire Department, we started this program where what they can do is if they see somebody who overdosed, they can give them naloxone, just like always. But if that patient then is in withdrawal, which a lot of times happens after giving naloxone, or if they just come up to a patient who's in withdrawal, they can start them right there on the street on buprenorphine and then connect them up with services. And this is really a practice change. Medications like methadone, like buprenorphine, they used to be in really specific clinics. You had to go to a drug treatment clinic to get these medications. And then they were available more widely at other clinics. And then they were available in emergency departments. But now they're available with such a low barrier. A lot of folks, after they get naloxone, they don't want to go to the emergency department. It's not cheap. It's embarrassing for people who don't want to be seen after their overdose. And so they don't want to go, and they refuse to go. So this makes it really low barrier to get them involved in treatment. And we know from study after study after study that folks who are doing medication-assisted treatment, not stopping cold turkey, but using buprenorphine to help them stop, are far more likely to stick with treatment and to avoid further opioid use.
Dr. Weston, though, I mean, EMS, fire departments, they're on short time frames and they have the next emergency to get to. How long does it take for someone to have a major improvement in withdrawal symptoms after taking the medication at the scene?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it is fast. They do feel the symptom relief pretty instantly. Now, that said, what West Dallas Fire Department has done is they have a special team, and they've received grant funding for this team. They have a special team. It's called Mobile Integrated Health. And that team will stay on scene with the patient and allow the ambulance to leave and go care for other patients. But that one team will stay there. Now, they don't just do opioids. We could do a whole hour talking about their mobile integrated health, and we should sometime. But they do fall prevention. They do folks with asthma exacerbations. They do heart failure. They do so many different things, and throughout the county, not just in West Allis Fire Department, with that mobile integrated health, those special teams that aren't just responding to 911 and going on to the next call, but really staying with the patient and helping them to improve their health long term.
Milwaukee County's Chief Health Policy Advisor, Dr. Ben Weston, as we look at the pressing public health issues, how his county approaches them, you can be part of the conversation. Call in to ask a question, share your perspective. The number is 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're in conversation with Milwaukee County's inaugural Chief Health Policy Advisor, emergency medicine physician Ben Weston is here. Now 2 years into the role, we check in on how to address big health concerns and vulnerabilities. Call in with a question, share a comment, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Dr. Weston, turning to air quality, Canadian wildfires causing air quality issues across the state, including Milwaukee, and haze-like conditions are creating air quality alerts and low visibility. How are county health leaders addressing air quality concerns?
Yeah, so this has really been a newer issue to us here in Milwaukee County and Wisconsin. A lot of states are used to this. They see plenty of air quality alerts throughout much of the year, particularly in the summer. But it was new this year with the Canadian wildfires and the wind patterns blowing these particulates down here. We've been addressing it in a number of different ways. One is just through public education, understanding what's causing the poor air quality and how it affects folks, how these tiny particulates, they're called PM2.5s. It means less than 2.5 micrometers. We're talking about microscopic size, get down deep into the lungs and can cause irritation. And so we've talked a lot with folks about how they can respond when this happens, when different air quality levels occur, whether it means you're fine, especially if you're healthy, or whether it means to take caution, to stay indoors, to, you know, bring back out those high quality masks for certain folks that are more vulnerable. We've also in Milwaukee County created a rubric to understand at different air quality levels, how do we change our services in Milwaukee County? We're constantly caring for vulnerable populations. That's one of the main roles of Milwaukee County, is to look out for vulnerable folks and provide them with services. And so we need to sometimes adjust the services we provide based on that air quality. And so we've done a lot of work behind the scenes on not just how we function in the county, but how we communicate with the public as well.
I wonder how you communicate and advise education and athletic programs as children and teens, especially, who have started sports programs and they're working out outdoors each day or holding their games outdoors in these conditions. And, you know, I'm just wondering, what impact does it have on the younger people?
It absolutely has an impact. Now, when you get to the very young, any sort of issues that irritate the respiratory system can hit them a lot harder. And the reason why is because their airways are so much smaller. When you have little kids, or especially babies and newborns, instead of having these, you know, big quarter diameter airways, they're just these teeny little straws. And so when you start getting inflammation in those airways, it affects kids a lot more. And that's why with little kids, I mean, it goes for so many different conditions, influenza, bronchitis, croup, all these conditions that affect little kids, there's a reason why, and it's because of the size of their airways. And so that's the same when you have these poor air conditions. Now, as kids get a little bit older, their airways get bigger, but a lot of kids still suffer from asthma, especially we talk about sporting events, exercise-induced asthma. So as we start getting into these moderate sort of air quality levels where it's only for sensitive populations, we will see those sort of kids be affected. And so they need to be extra cautious. And their parents and their coaches and their teachers need to be extra cautious as well.
Part of your work involves the COVID-19 pandemic, and federal health officials say an updated booster is expected to be released this fall. How is Milwaukee County preparing for the rollout of the new booster?
Yeah, so we've seen an increase in COVID-19 levels lately. We see increased cases. Now, luckily, though, we haven't seen as much of an increase. We've seen some, but as much of an increase in hospitalizations, and we haven't yet seen a change in deaths. So it seems to still be not terribly severe disease for most populations. Now, for more medically vulnerable and older folks, that's not always the case. But certainly having this booster around the corner is going to be really important. Now, what's also going to be important is national level guidance on the booster. We don't know yet when it's coming out. We hear September, we hear October. It would sure be nice to have a better idea of when this booster's coming and what sort of populations it's going to be recommended for. And so we're waiting on that information from the national level, and that will help to inform our messaging locally. Is the booster going to be available for everybody? Is it going to be available but recommended for certain populations? We don't know yet. What we do know is that it's going to be an interesting fall because we're going to have your flu vaccine, as we've always had. You're going to have your COVID booster. And then we're also going to have a new RSV vaccine for folks who are 60 and older. So there's a lot of messaging to go on for three different vaccines at the same time that you, the science is still developing on should you take these together? Should you separate them out a little bit? Specifically the COVID booster with the RSV. So there's a lot to learn. There's a lot of messaging to get straight, but hopefully we'll get some national guidance on that COVID booster sooner than later.
Dr. Ben Weston with us as we look at public health issues in Milwaukee County and elsewhere, as Dr. Weston is the county's chief health policy advisor. You can join in with your questions and your comments at 800-642-1234. In terms of respiratory syncytial virus, RSV, the vaccine rollout, as you mentioned, expected this fall. How is the county preparing for a new vaccine distribution like that?
Yeah, so we work closely with our health systems, with our pharmacies, with our public health departments, all the folks that typically distribute vaccines. And so we'll have vaccine availability on each of those fronts. Now, the RSV vaccine is new, so a lot of what goes with that is messaging. So the RSV vaccine is recommended for folks 60 years and older. It's a single dose vaccine. It's not an mRNA vaccine. It's an older type vaccine, a protein type vaccine. And this will decrease the likelihood of getting RSV and also the likelihood of severe illness with RSV. And this is important. There's over 100,000 hospitalizations most years of folks with RSV and nearly 10,000 deaths. And most of those, or those 10,000 deaths, are among older individuals. RSV tends to affect the really old and the really young,
Infants,
most
yes.
severely. Yeah,
Yes.
yeah.
So in terms of people who don't have health insurance, I mean, COVID vaccines initially were really widespread. It didn't matter, the government, federal government, paying for the cost of them. Is there any indication what the cost of the new booster shot for COVID-19 will be, or how it would affect people without health insurance?
That's a great question, and that was one of the issues with the ending of the public health emergency is that these vaccines are not as covered as they have been in the past. Now, in Milwaukee County, one of the things we'll work with is work with our health systems, work with our, again, public health departments and pharmacies. To make this vaccine as widely available as possible. But in a lot of areas of the country, that is going to be a big gap for uninsured folks. What is the cost of the vaccine? What's the availability of the vaccine? And again, until we get more national guidance, we won't have perfect answers to those questions.
One of the things that Milwaukee, I think, did in the pandemic was going community by community, neighborhood by neighborhood, door to door, even providing the pandemic vaccinations, the COVID-19 vaccinations. What did you learn from that type of rollout?
Yeah, the vaccine rollout was interesting. It started where we could open up a big vaccine clinic. We had one at the Wisconsin Center. We had one at the Kosciuszko Center. and people would just flock to us. I mean, we had weeks out, the appointments were booked for weeks out for thousands of people who wanted to get their vaccines. And then it shifted. It shifted to people weren't going to come to you to get the vaccines. Now the people that were left had barriers. They didn't necessarily not want to get vaccinated. But you can imagine you're a single parent, you have two jobs, you have three kids, you have no transportation, and you have no childcare. It's going to be pretty hard to find time to go get that vaccine. But if we can bring it to you, if we can bring it to your grocery store, to your church, to your barbershop, or knock on your door and bring it right to you,
That will make an
they.
impact. Yes, Dr. Ben Weston with us, Chief Health Policy Advisor for Milwaukee County. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're in conversation with Milwaukee County's Chief Health Policy Advisor, Dr. Ben Weston, now 2 years on the job in this inaugural role for the county. And we explore new approaches to complex community health issues and effects beyond Milwaukee County. Call in with a question, comments along the way, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Christina in Glenwood. Hi, Christina. What is your question?
Hi there. Thank you. Well, I'm a healthy, active 65-year-old, and I was very careful to avoid COVID. And to my surprise, I contracted RSV. I was literally sick for a month and a half. And I'm wondering, would I have built up a resistance to RSV, or would you recommend the vaccine?
Yeah, that's a great question, Christina. So the fact that you had RSV certainly improves your immunity to it. Now, for most diseases, we see the best level of immunity is actually achieved through hybrid immunity. So that is contracting the disease, not the safest or most fun way to do it, but if you did it, there you are, in addition to getting the vaccine. So certainly come this fall, you know, talk to your doctor, but I would generally recommend still getting that RSV vaccine come this fall. It's actually available now in a lot of places. And so by having that infection and vaccination together, you can get the greatest level of immunity and be as safe as possible with relation to RSV.
Christina, thank you so much for the call. As we look now at alcohol-related deaths, you say Milwaukee County alcohol-related deaths rose by 64% from 2019 to 2020. What is causing this issue?
Yeah, so we've had a high level of alcohol use in Wisconsin for a long time. That's no secret. Wisconsin has almost three times as many bars as we do grocery stores. And that creates some issues. In Wisconsin, we drink a lot more than most other states. And when we do, when we are drinking, we drink a lot more in a single sitting. And so this causes a lot of problems. It causes, obviously, problems with motor vehicle collisions. It causes problems with exacerbating mental health conditions. And then it exacerbates a lot of health conditions. You basically follow the path of the alcohol through the body, and you're more likely to get cancers in all those different areas, your mouth, your throat, your airway, your esophagus. And so there's a lot of issues that alcohol causes. And so as much as you can, cutting down your drinking is going to help if you have more than, you know, a drink or two a day.
Did the pandemic accelerate the increases that you're seeing in alcohol-related health concerns?
Yeah, unfortunately, it did. You know, with the pandemic, we saw an increase in mental health concerns. We saw an increase in suicidal ideation. We see all that reflected in our 911 calls, in our behavioral health service requests, in all these different areas. And alcohol is no different. Unfortunately, when folks have stress in their lives, too many turn to alcohol and other substances. So we did see an increase during the pandemic, absolutely.
Is Milwaukee County finding success at reducing alcohol use? How are you approaching this issue?
Yeah, we approach it in a number of different ways. One is certainly through communication, talking to folks about alcohol use, about what is healthy drinking. I think there's a lot of, different information out there. It's kind of like, what is healthy eating? Well, what is healthy drinking? There's a lot of different answers. Some studies show that you shouldn't drink any alcohol, and that's best. Some show that a drink a day is okay. I would say that if you're having much more than one drink a day, you ought to think about your alcohol intake and see if there's a way to cut back. And so there's a number of different ways to think about it, but certainly across different populations, across different races and ethnicities and ages, we have seen an increase in alcohol use.
At the doctor's office in primary care, are alcohol-related screening questions on target to catch concerning behavior, like, how many times in the past year or have you had X or more drinks in a day? Is that an appropriate screening question?
It's an important screening question, absolutely. I'll tell you, my wife is a primary care provider. She's a primary care physician, and there's a lot of questions they have to ask and not much time to ask them. Now, alcohol is certainly an important question to ask. Smoking is an important question to ask. Diet is an important question to ask. And primary care visits are short. But nonetheless, there are screening questions, there are screening questionnaires. And if those flag in a certain way, it leads you to ask more questions and to start talking about interventions.
Among counties, Milwaukee County has the highest number of reckless driving deaths in Wisconsin, and that's since 2018, according to the State Department of Transportation. How should reckless driving be addressed in public health?
I mean, reckless driving is a major issue in Milwaukee and Milwaukee County, as well as many other areas across the country. One of the things we're doing right now is the way we approach many health issues is which is first understanding the data behind the challenge. And so in Milwaukee County, we've formed this task force. It's called MAST, Milwaukee Area Safe Streets Task Force. And it has stakeholders from across the county. And what we're doing is we're putting together, as we have for a number of other things, including COVID, a public-facing dashboard. And it should release at the end of this year. But what's unique about this dashboard is traditionally, law enforcement data is what's reviewed when we look at motor vehicle collisions. But we're also pulling in our rich EMS data set. I mentioned 115,000 patient encounters a year. That's a whole lot more data. And law enforcement isn't necessarily involved in every motor vehicle collision. So by combining those two data sets into a single dashboard with a map, with demographics, we can understand where are the true problem areas for motor vehicle collisions. Who is it affecting? Who is it unfortunately killing and injuring? And from that, we can then identify hotspots. We can do policy recommendations. So we start with the data and we move forward from there.
Who are you pulling together for this task force, Milwaukee Area Safe Streets? Who do you look to?
Yeah, so we have a lot of different stakeholders. We have community level folks who are leading community groups. We have law enforcement. We have fire. We have EMS. We have the Medical College of Wisconsin, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and then a number of different county stakeholders as well. So a lot of different folks. And then, of course, municipality, the city, some of the suburbs as well. So really a great cross-section of the community who are helping to move this forward.
In conversation with Dr. Ben Weston, the Milwaukee County's Chief Health Policy Advisor, as we look at the latest in public health and solutions at the community level, you can join in your questions and concerns. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Dr. Weston, in 2020, Milwaukee County received one of the lowest health rankings, 71st out of 72 counties. And rankings were done by the city's health department. It found that white people are outliving black people by nearly 14 years. How are local leaders addressing these healthcare disparities?
Yeah, when we look at health in Milwaukee County, one of our philosophies is that housing comes first. And really, housing is health. So across so many different health conditions, folks who don't have stable housing have worse health and worse health outcomes. The list is long. Diabetes, high blood pressure, heart attacks, infectious disease, depression, substance use. Unstable housing makes each of these worse. And so when we talk about upstream and downstream factors affecting health, housing is way upstream. And it's an area where Milwaukee County pours a ton of resources, but the return on that investment is really great.
The return on the investment for creating stable housing actually impacts the health of a community. And sometimes I don't think that we make that type of correlation.
Right, right. One of the unique programs that Milwaukee County has is called Housing First. And so what Housing First means is that housing has to come first. And so a lot of housing programs say, well, we'll give you stable housing if you show you have a job. We'll give you stable housing if you show you don't use substances, if you show you have a steady income, if you show you have stable health. But none of those things come, or they're a lot harder to come by, if you don't have stable housing. And so what we found in Milwaukee County is by starting with housing, no questions asked, we're going to give you stable housing. A lot of those other things fall into place. Your health improves. You get a job. You have a stable income. And so by doing housing first, Milwaukee County has realized some of the lowest levels of unsheltered populations in the country. We've seen a 92% reduction in unsheltered or homeless folks in Milwaukee County since we started this in 2015. So we're making a major dent on housing, and downstream, we know that's going to make a major impact on health.
We talked on our show with two Milwaukee nurse practitioners in June who had opened a new healthcare clinic to address healthcare disparities, and the clinic combines mental health and wellness services. And nurse practitioner Octavia Wright-Manuel talked about the business model effects on patients.
We can sit down together because they've given us permission to talk to each other about their care, and then we can come up with solutions for that patient. In the past, when we have other patients that go to bigger systems outside of us, it's really hard to connect with other providers to try to help with that continuity of care.
And so we're seeing that this clinic trying to do continuity of care differently. What is your take on that opposed to how healthcare might work in larger hospitals settings?
Yeah, I think that community-based healthcare is critical. And I'll tell you, every time I talk with, when I sit down and meet with County Executive Crowley, the two things that come up every single time that he always brings up, one is housing and one is mental health care. And mental health care in Milwaukee County has really transformed under his leadership. So we've opened up three access centers in the last 3 years. Now, these are community-based. They're embedded in federally qualified health centers. These are county-run, community-based mental health clinics. And we've also moved our from behavioral health services out in Wauwatosa to the Mental Health Emergency Center right in the heart of the central city of Milwaukee. And so for mental health concerns specifically, you can get them addressed in the long-term needs at these access centers, which are embedded in communities. And then when you have an emergency, when you have an acute need, you can go nearby your house. The vast majority of the population that is using these are now nearby this center and can go to the mental health emergency center as well. So it's really transformed the mental health services in Milwaukee County.
Dr. Ben Weston serves as chief health policy advisor for Milwaukee County. As we dig into these vexing public health issues, call in with a question or concern, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Milwaukee County's chief health policy advisor, Dr. Ben Weston, is now 2 years on the job. He monitors public health issues, educates the public, and advises policymakers. As we discuss pressing health challenges, call in with a question or comment along the way. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Wisconsin is expected to receive $370 million in federal funds to help replace old lead service pipes. And Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson says he plans to replace nearly 70,000 lead service pipes over the next 20 years. So a shorter timeline than initially could have taken many more decades. What could a lead service line replacement mean for the health of residents?
So this is really a big deal for Milwaukee. Lead poisoning can have long-lasting and irreversible health effects, especially on younger population. Now, the most common method of exposure to lead actually in Wisconsin is through lead paint, especially around windows. You have young kids, they're rubbing their hands on it. Kids, you know, chew on the paint, all this kind of stuff, and they can be exposed there. But they also are exposed through lead water pipes. And so replacing not just paint, but pipes as well is critical. And even a small amount of lead can have seriously harmful effects on cognition, on behaviors, on development, lower IQ, decreased academic achievement. And in Milwaukee County, we have a much higher level of children with elevated blood levels than the rest of the state, almost 6% as it compared to 3%. So nearly double what we're seeing in the rest of the state. So this is really a big step forward for Milwaukee.
How do you ensure that young children are tested, that they get the lead blood level testing when they see the pediatrician or are at a clinic?
Yeah, so there's a number of different venues where kids can get lead tested, but through, as you mentioned, through normal health systems, through their federally qualified health centers, through their primary care providers, their pediatricians. Also, public health departments can either test or connect folks up with testing. So we have a lot of different resources to get kids connected with lead testing.
And then they also need to be monitored if they have the elevated levels. That too requires a public health approach. How do you approach that in terms of making sure those kids don't fall through the cracks?
Right. So this is a major responsibility of each of our different health departments in Milwaukee County. And in Milwaukee County, we don't have a county health department. We have 11 different municipal health departments, the largest of which, of course, is the Milwaukee Health Department. And so each of those health departments will work with those kids, will work with those families to ensure that those lead levels are being monitored and to help connect them up with services to mitigate that lead, to get rid of that lead paint, to get rid of those lead pipes as well.
There is another area that is receiving historic funding, and that is the multi-billion dollar national opioid settlements where we started the conversation, which is apparently allowing Milwaukee County to do different things to address this crisis at the local level. As you look at the billions of dollars that will come in to Wisconsin and elsewhere in over the years to come, the decade to come, what do you hope happens to that money?
Yeah, I hope, and I think here in Milwaukee County, and I hope in other places too, we can do a multifaceted approach. So what I mean by that, we talked earlier in the show about upstream and downstream. So just to clarify, upstream, we're talking about things that you can affect before the problem occurs. And a lot of times those don't show up right away. Housing would be a good example, the effect, or education or employment. Those sort of things affect health, but they take a while to affect it. But that return on investment is huge. And then there's downstream. So we talk about harm reduction, nasal naloxone, fentanyl test strips. These are downstream sort of efforts. So I'm hopeful that with these opioid funds, we can think in both of those realms. We can think downstream because we have to. We're right in the middle of an opioid crisis here. We need to get out harm reduction. We need to get out peer counselors and messaging and all these and medication-assisted treatment. But we also need to think upstream so that we don't just go through this money and end up at the end in the same place we were. We need to think about things like mental health service. We need to think about housing. We need to think about employment and transportation and all the critical infrastructure that county governments provide, that city governments, that state governments, that national governments provide, that makes a huge difference in the health of individuals and the broader population.
Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley, as mentioned before, signed this bill that provides more than $600,000 for community mental health services. How are funds improving access to mental health?
Yeah, this has really been a you know, frontline issue for County Executive Crawley. And by signing this bill, it ensures that our mental health services are integrated into our community. And this is all about pulling down barriers. So instead of driving across town, taking a bus across town, figuring out how to get there to have your mental health services, it's in your community. And that's, I think, what county government, city government, all government should be all about, is pulling down barriers. We talk about it constantly. County Executive Crowley talks about it constantly. Barriers to all sorts of things. Barriers to mental health services. Barriers to accessing green space and parks. Barriers to transportation to housing, all these different areas. What we work for is to pull down those barriers and let folks succeed in their lives and improve and strengthen their health.
Governor Evers declared this year the year of mental health, and the State Department of Public Instruction says our state's new two-year budget provides over $235 million to meet the mental health needs of Wisconsin students. What resources do local schools, especially in your county, what do they need to improve mental health support?
Yeah, I think the governor's focus on mental health is so critical. When we look at mental health, especially you mentioned schools, especially among younger populations, to be able to address it early. It makes me think of our Department of Health and Human Services Birth to Three program. By addressing those issues early, identifying mental health issues, identifying disabilities, identifying cognitive delays, you can intervene in that moment. You can intervene at that time and connect folks with services and with support to decrease the likelihood that they end up in the criminal justice system, to increase the likelihood that they get the educational support that they need and can be productive and healthy and contributive as they move forward. And so I think by focusing on mental health, especially among youth, we can make a big difference. When we talk about upstream, this is upstream. This is investing in the future of Milwaukee County and investing in the future of Wisconsin.
Certainly a prevention tactic there. In our last minute together, what healthcare solutions do you hope Milwaukee County achieves by the end of this year?
Well, we talked a lot about housing, and I think that is one of the key areas of investments. One of the exciting things that we're doing right now is investing in the King Park neighborhood. This is an underserved community in Milwaukee County. And by building 120 homes with different partners, Habitat for Humanity, the MM Group, by building these homes and selling them below cost, we can make a huge difference in this community with the built environment, with upstream factors like housing, and really strengthen health. So that's something I'm particularly excited about right now.
Dr. Weston, thank you for this conversation. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the time.
Dr. Ben Weston is Milwaukee County's Chief Health Policy Advisor and an Associate Professor in the Department of Emergency Medicine at Medical College of Wisconsin. And for disclosure, Medical College of Wisconsin is a business sponsor of Wisconsin Public Radio. Did you miss any part of the show today? You can visit our program page anytime, find hundreds of morning show programs in our archives. Visit WPR.org/mornings. It's all free to stream, to download, and thanks in part because of support from generous listeners like you. Again, that program page is WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.